don't fear me, because I know what I want. Please deliver me, that's all part of your soul. It makes you freeze time, staring in at yourself. It's time to step outside onto the path you once made.
Freedom. As the zombified cheerleaders advanced on them, Mildred and Aisha raced for the homeside gym bleachers. It will be the place where clear-cut parents will be watching their boys and girls tumble, doing something that babies take up as a sport at 6 months after falling over. And that's not a dig at gymnasts, by the way. "Oh, I would give anything to get a picture of little Miss Perfect Bonnie Carson looking this way," Aisha said, generally disappointed at not having a camera after seeing Bonnie move to the head of the zombie cheerleader group. She was the head cheerleader, after all, so it would be lining up with all cheer squad protocols, as she should be leading things. Leading things in this case was a very weird sight for a zombie. Her uniform, and all the other zombie cheerleaders' uniforms, were perfectly new. You would normally think zombies and worn-out clothes, but not in this case. But their bodies were most definitely zombified. Her hair was matted in spots, dreadlocked in spots, and bald in spots. Teeth were broken and black, and the flesh was peeling and flaking off. Mildred and Aisha ran up the bleachers, row by row, until they made it to the top level. These bleachers had just been installed earlier in the day, so they were the first people who had treaded upon them. They made no sound with each foot plant, which is unusual for bleachers, because they almost always sound like they're ready to fall apart at any moment. When these bleachers get older, as bleachers do, no matter how much they cost, they will creak and shift with every step, as goes bleacher tradition, but at this moment of time they weren't making any noise for our running away duo. Aisha turned to Mildred, wondering what next, as they both watched the zombified cheerleaders as they moved slowly, led by a zombified Bonnie Carson. "What now, Miss Super Jim Jams?" Aisha said, in a very sarcastically calm way. She's trying very hard to get her sarcasm skills ready for when she goes to college. She's been told they'll come in handy. Mildred gave her friend a smile to answer her. "Oh, no. No, no, no," Aisha said as she waved a finger back and forth in the air, knowing what was about to happen because it had happened before and didn't turn out that great for her. Then she started waving her hands frantically over her head as if swatting at something, without looking for what she was swatting at. The whole time this was going on, the zombified cheerleaders, led by head zombified cheerleader Bonnie Carson, started moving up the bleachers after them, and Aisha became more and more anxious. "Oh, I hate this, I really hate this." Mildred took her friend's hand in hers. "You know you secretly love it." "The last time you powered out, I ended up with a broken arm," Aisha reminded her. Mildred slowly floated up into the air with Aisha following. As long as Aisha was still touching Mildred, she could fly along with her. The zombified cheerleaders reached the top of the bleachers, and zombified Bonnie Carson was reaching and stretching, trying to grab a hold of Aisha's feet. "I don't like this," Aisha shrieked as they zoomed across above the gym floor. Though she got one good kick into the jaw of one of her favourite head cheerleaders below them as they rose away from the zombified spirit squad, so that gave her a small happy. She's always wanted to do that to a cheerleader. Especially that cheerleader. Oops, wait, I miswrote. Spirit squads are different from cheerleader squads. My mistake. Just before they reached the gymnasium's high windows, Mildred waved her hand and the windows flew open. "I thought telekinesis gave you ear-bleeding headaches?" Aisha asked, a little worried about Mildred as they flew through the open windows, but she was more scared because she was flying through the air and her survival had nothing at all to do with anything she was doing, or could do, but hold on to the hand of her best friend. "It does give me headaches," Mildred told her. "But really, what choice did we have back there?" "We could have..." But Aisha was impolitely interrupted as we move on to the next section of this book. "I know. Rude writer." Empty parking lots at night, no matter where they are, have a creepy feeling about them. The feeling is akin to that of little lights shining down on mazes without walls. They're quiet and have a little piece of ultimate fear and loneliness about them. I must have mazes on the brain of late. It's night time and the school's parking lot is empty, save for one bus which was slowly pulling into the school grounds from the road that travels alongside it. It seemed to come out of nowhere as headlights came out of the darkness to shine across the parking lot. The bus stopped in one of the large bus parking spaces, which is mainly what this back parking lot is used for. Buses, work trucks and teachers' vehicles. Out of the bus pulled all the members, coaches and advisers for the school's competitive marching band. They were all laughing, talking and playing their instruments because they've just won first prize at an in-state competition. They were most definitely in joyous spirits. But if a band comes back from winning a competition and they aren't in joyous spirits, you would question how they won in the first place. The noise and distracted feelings of accomplishment were enough so no one saw the sight of Mildred and Aisha as they landed softly on the roof of the bus. They imminently laid flat on the roof to wait for everyone to clear away. Not because they didn't want people to see Mildred flying. Everyone knows she can fly sometimes. She is the school's resident superhero after all. But Mildred didn't want to face any questions until she had some concrete answers or theories. Everyone from the bus walked away from it and spread out into different directions. This is the breaking up of the gathering. Some started a walk home, some headed to places to wait for a ride home, and others went through a tunnel that led across the road and up into the school's secondary parking lot that used to be the parking lot of a call centre. The call centre building is now used by the school for special school events like charity yard sales and charity roller derby season. When everyone had passed out of sight, Mildred floated herself and Aisha off the bus roof, and they started calmly walking in the direction of the school's back gates with a little bit of a strut that says, "This is the part where it's just us." A feeling of belonging to a private two-person club that gets to see and do things no one else gets to experience. "What about the zombified jockheads?" Aisha asked, a little winded, and as usual, a little bothered by the fact that her friend never was. "The effect seems to pass after an hour or so. They're all locked up good and safe for now," Mildred answered as they travelled the familiar after-school walk home. "Will you be meeting with the principal tomorrow?" Aisha said. "Principal and chief of police, as I do every week." "You head into the library?" Aisha asked. There is always an end point to their adventures where Aisha is torn between being tired and ready for their escapades to be over and wanting it to never end. "Yep, I need a book on Pulpy for a paper I'm writing," Mildred replied. "Isn't it sort of cheating that you write in a paper on him like everyone else and you know him, personal-like? I mean, you did have burgers and fries with Mr. Beyond Human Icon." "This isn't for the English class assignment, this is for a college class," Mildred explained. Even though they have some classes together, Aisha forgets sometimes that Mildred also takes a number of college classes during the day and online at night. "Does your super smart flicker on and off like your other powers?" Aisha asked, grinning and being a smartass. Sarcastic and smartass are her two most appealing traits, as her mother has pointed out many times. "Lucky for my grades and my chance at a great college, no?" Mildred replied with a smile. "Just don't go off and forget your sidekick," Aisha said. "Want to go to the library with me, sidekick?" Mildred asked, with a little wanting in the question. "Nope, Original Trek has been in my Netflix queue for about a year, and I have a ham sandwich waiting for me." And as it is with a lot of things in youth, most of the time, you haven't had all the experiences yet to see real need in a friend's expressions and words. To see times when someone you care about is saying something but within it might be a scream of something else, like loneliness. A rather large man in a sports hoodie was going through his wife's jewellery box. He had put the ring down for a second to take a shower and she found it and, thinking it must be something she had bought and forgotten about, put it away with all her other garish jewellery. After finally finding his ring, he put it in his pants pocket and would have to remind himself to take it off at home so she wouldn't see it again and ask questions. "What? Man rings are okay." "They can be. Just don't let anyone see you wearing one." "No? Not cool? Just not cool? Okay. So it must be a bad guy thing?"
Remember.